with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. A big issue heading into Tuesday's State of the Union address was border security. But are Democrats and Republicans any closer to a compromise?
All in all, I think the night ended with us, not really any of us, being very clear about how we get out of this box.
Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib joins us with more insight and analysis in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. The Federal Reserve is adding a new hypothetical scenario to its stress test for big banks, a rapid increase in unemployment. The scenario includes a 10% unemployment rate and stress in corporate lending and commercial real estate markets. Big banks need to show they can survive the hypothetical scenario with enough capital to continue lending. If they fail, they could face restrictions on payouts to shareholders. The banks need to submit their tests in April, and the Fed will announce the results at the end of June. Pharmaceutical companies are blaming middlemen in the supply chain for a rise in drug prices. They say they're paying bigger rebates to pharmacy benefit managers that negotiate prices with their clients. It's a new tack for pharmaceutical firms, which have long said it's the cost of funding research and development that's led to higher prices. PBMs counter that claim, and critics say it doesn't tell the full story. The Trump administration has recently proposed rebates to middlemen in federal pharmacy programs. A trade group has filed a petition with the International Trade Commission accusing Canadian, Mexican, and Chinese structural steel producers of dumping products in the U.S. below the cost of making them. The American Institute of Steel Construction wants tariffs added to columns, beams, girders, and other products from those countries, saying domestic companies are losing sales and now have weaker pricing power as a result. Still to come, we'll have insight and analysis of the State of the Union address. President Trump delivered his second State of the Union address with lawmakers still mired in debate over the president's demands for a border wall. Joining us now from Washington with analysis is Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, one of the top issues heading into this State of the Union address was the standoff over border security. And we heard both President Trump and former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, who gave the Democratic response, address that issue.
In the past, most of the people in this room voted for a wall, but the proper wall never got built. I will get it built.
Democrats stand ready to effectively secure our ports and borders. But we must all embrace that from agriculture to healthcare to entrepreneurship, America is made stronger by the presence of immigrants, not walls.
We're now about 10 days away from another deadline, and it doesn't seem that what we heard from either side on Tuesday night signals that they're any closer to a compromise on this issue.
No, I think that was the part of the speech that where there was the most obvious tension in the House chamber was when President Trump talked about immigration, and he did it for a big, long 15-minute stretch, by my count, right in the middle of the speech, and you could tell that's where Democrats were restless, and that's where the president was throwing out a lot of red meat language that pleases his base, you know, talking about the need for the wall, which Democrats have called immoral, talking about the evils brought upon the country by illegal immigration, which Democrats tend to think is just simply demonizing Hispanics, and also referring, I think, to things that are hot-button issues like I'm not going to get rid of ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, which some progressive Democrats have said is something that ought to be eliminated. There was a lot of partisan tension in the conversation about immigration, and it didn't explain, none of that explained really how this issue is going to be resolved. The president said, I have a proposal that is a common-sense proposal that has some wall funding and greater border interdiction. But in that passage, he didn't mention the thing that is a top priority for Democrats, which is some legal status for Dreamers, the young immigrants brought here as children. So he didn't even put on the table what many Democrats consider to be the key element of any compromise on immigration. The only hint of a compromise, and it was only a hint, was when the president described what his proposal calls for in terms of a wall, and it was not a wall across the entire border, but a wall only in places where the border agents think it's necessary to plug gaps between legal ports of entry, suggesting a much less expansive, much more modest wall than he's described in his rhetoric in the past. Maybe that's supposed to point us to a resolution of this, but all in all, I think the night ended with us, not really any of us being very clear about how we get out of this box.
Jerry, you mentioned that tension in the room, and there was sort of a shift, I would say, about 30 minutes into the State of the Union. The president was talking about the economy, and then he said this.
An economic miracle is taking place in the United States, and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations.
Jerry, what did you make of that shift?
Well, I thought the first half hour was really a quite different speech than maybe some of us have come to expect from President Trump, a real ode to bipartisanship and unity. I thought maybe the kind of speech that President Trump, who campaigned almost as an independent, not really beholden to either party, might have been able to give at the beginning and never quite got off, but one that basically talked about rising above pettiness and fighting, and a lot of people identify the whole Trump era with pettiness and fighting. But it was a real attempt to strike a different tone, maybe to create a different atmosphere, certainly different from the one that's prevailed for the last month, when it's been nothing but partisan bickering and fighting over the wall and an entire government shutdown for 35 days. It was all different in the first half hour, a different tone, entirely different president almost. And then when he turned to saying, we have a great economy, the only thing that can get in the way is if you all investigate me too much, that was a passing, glancing reference, but a very pointed one. And then the turn to immigration. And I think when he turned to immigration, which is the issue that just gashes Congress and the country and the two parties right down the middle, then it took on a different feel. And it was that way throughout the discussion of immigration. And then it got more sort of happy and bipartisan again when he talked about the achievements women have made, including the election to Congress of many women, more women in Congress than ever before, many of them, most of them, by the way, being Democrats, and that gave them a chance to cheer something the Republican president had said. But in that period that began about a half an hour into the speech, it was definitely a tense partisan discussion of immigration in particular.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about the Democratic response, a much more abbreviated speech, as is customary, by Stacey Abrams, who lost Georgia's closely watched gubernatorial race. She's considered a rising star in the Democratic Party. Jerry, what did you make of her response to the State of the Union?
Well, two things. The first thing is less what she said than what she stands for. I mean, Democrats are very much about emphasizing diversity, their diversity and the country's diversity. They're very much about emphasizing the success that women have had within the party and in the economy and in the country. And they're very interested in making inroads in the South, where Democrats were pretty much a lost cause for the last 20 years or so. Stacey Abrams symbolizes all three of those things. So a large part of her making the response was simply being there and showing that those things symbolize the Democratic Party in 2019. And so she is an icon in a way for something Democrats want to illustrate. The second thing was that it wasn't really a response to the speech at all, in a way. It was simply more of a declaration of what Democrats stand for, what minorities see in terms of progress they've made and progress they still need to make in America. Similarly, progress women have made but still feel they need to make, and a kind of a general description of what Democrats and progressive Democrats in particular stand for in 2019. So it wasn't really an attempt to answer President Trump, but really to make a statement of what Democrats are about.
And I thought it was notable that she did mention that while she does accept the results of Georgia's gubernatorial race, that voter suppression does exist and is a real issue we need to address. Sort of a key statement as we look ahead to 2020 and Ms. Abrams' future as well.
Right. And this has been a kind of a lingering issue hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but in some states, Georgia obviously is one, there are concerns that there's voter repression being perpetrated by Republicans in charge of the state government. In North Carolina, there are concerns about votes basically being stolen. And on the other side, Republicans continue to worry and talk about and act against what they consider to be voter fraud, illegal immigrants voting and voting for Democrats. So this is particularly true in the South, all these concerns about the voting practice, and it's not going to go away. It's going to be there in 2020. As far as Stacey Abrams is concerned, nobody thinks she's done with elected politics. She lost the race in Georgia, but it was a very close race. Georgia's a state that Democrats think they're just this far away from tipping back into Democratic hands, which is where it resided for a long, long time. And Stacey Abrams will be part of that. Some people even talking about Stacey Abrams as being a potential 2020 vice presidential running mate. That doesn't seem very likely to me. But she's a rising star in the party, and her response on Tuesday night was certainly a sign that Democrats think that she's going to be around and they want her to be around for years to come.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib joining us with an analysis of the State of the Union address and the Democratic response. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Happy to be with you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.